Check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Hey, hi, hello. Holy crap. Okay. What's up, everybody? My name is Matt, and welcome to this podcast. Thank you so much for checking it out. Thanks for clicking on this. Thanks for listening to this. I appreciate that. I know it's kind of like, oh, great, another millennial hipster is doing a podcast, but, you know, whatever. Heck it. This one is different because it's mine. People who know me know that I tend to talk quite a lot and I will ramble on about all types of nonsense. So I thought this might be a good place for that. Thanks again for checking it out. Appreciate it. I hope you find it entertaining at the least. I really have no idea what I'm doing, but we're doing it. Thanks again. This is Showing Promise.
People of the world, Mr. Stuart Stock Tucker.
Hello. Hi.
Get excited.
I am. I'm waking up. I'm
okay.
All right. I got tired waiting forever.
That's true. Okay. First of all, can you believe that we are doing this?
I can't believe you're doing this.
All right. Me neither. I'm terrified, but that's all good. All right. Stuart.
What's up, Matt?
I think it's fair to say that we have been besties for quite a long time now.
Yeah.
We met when we were teenagers.
Yeah, it's been like 17 years. Oh, maybe longer.
I think I was maybe 16 when I met you.
You're old as fuck now, so that makes it... How old are you? 35?
Like we're both in our mid-30s.
Well, I'm in my young 30s, but...
you know, if you round up, you're, you know. So we're both about in our mid-30s. It's been a while.
Yeah.
We've been pretty good friends for a long time.
Yeah.
I was the best man in your wedding.
You were?
It was an honor. But it was an honor. Like, it was.
I know.
But I was terrified.
I remember.
Oh, yeah.
You threw a bachelor party for me.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I think that that's a whole other story. That's just... It's drama in my life, but it's all good. So we've been good friends for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good friends. But you have a somewhat unique life experience.
Yeah.
I would say.
I mean, yeah-ish.
I mean, it's like not, you know, the most common one.
Yeah.
And this year is kind of a big year. Or is this a big year? This 10 years?
This is the 11th year.
Okay.
Yeah, year 11, because I came out when I was 22.
Okay.
I'm 33.
All right.
It was this month, actually. November, when I was 22. Was the first person, yeah.
First time I told anybody.
Yeah.
All right, so you've been, you know, living out in the world for a while now. But before we get to all that, let's just go back a little bit, you know? Let's jump back in the early life of Stuart, okay? And just, you know, find out what this experience has been like for you.
All right.
Because, I mean, you know, maybe, you know, I mean, it's different for everybody, I'm assuming, but...
Yeah, I mean,
like
for sure.
But, you know, we'll find out more about you specifically. Plus, I'm interested as well, because I don't know, I might not know everything.
So what do you want to know?
Well... Let me just refer to my notes here. I prepared.
Professional podcaster.
Oh, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. I prepared. All right. So when were you like first aware? Like when did it become conscious in your head that you were
a gay person.
Human?
Yeah. excuse me. I think middle school. So, okay. I feel like I've known since I was a little kid, right? Like super young, but I didn't understand it or know like what it was. Like, I don't know what sexual orientation was when I was a kid. So I think when I learned that, I was like sixth or seventh grade that I figured out that I was gay or like, you know, and attracted to other men or boys. I was a boy at the time. So
right.
To boys.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Damn. That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty young, I think.
Yeah. I mean, cause I feel like that was also the age where everyone learned the F word. So it was like common.
The
talk.
Other F word.
The other
yeah.
F word.
Yeah.
It was like saying dude, but instead we said that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, middle school was probably when I figured it out. But I knew, you know, I knew for a long time. I just didn't understand what it was.
Right.
Until
yeah.
I was older.
Okay. Yeah. Now, like when you're, you know, that young or whatever, are you still like, do you believe in cooties and all that?
I mean, yeah, I guess I did, but I didn't think about it. About boys having cooties, because it's you're always told that girls have cooties
right.
or
that's
girls
exactly
have boys
I mean.
Have cooties.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So no, I don't. I guess I never thought that boy has a cootie or cooties. Also because I buried it so deep that like I didn't even think. I was trying my hardest to never even think about it. It
right.
was like the back of my head.
Okay.
In a basement,
right.
6 feet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, way
yeah.
down there.
So the concept of cooties exists, but you still thought it applied to women, though, or girls. You know?
I mean, I still think it applies to women. So
yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, it's you're not wrong. So when you're that young and you, like, have these thoughts, feelings, or whatever, like, you're aware of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're aware that, like, okay, typically, I guess you would say, boys like girls, but like I feel that way towards other boys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you think? Are you like scared or like, what is the, is there, I mean, it's pretty young. Like, what is the emotion like around? Like,
yeah.
When you think about that.
Scared for sure. Especially because I grew up going to a Catholic school. So going to private Catholic school for so long, it was obviously it's frowned upon and it's like this horrible thing according to religion. So I certainly buried it deep and was horrified, which is why it took me so long to come out in the first place. So yeah, I was like, excuse me, I had to go to church Wednesday mornings before school. And if you didn't do that, then you just had, this is like first through sixth grade, then you had to just read from the Bible in school. So, and I had religion class every day. So it was a lot of religion. Religion is the main reason I feel like I repressed it for so long or suppressed it and kept it buried deep. And then, you know, eventually I got over it, but that was definitely probably the main reason. Cause I didn't grow up in a house where it was, where my parents said it was wrong to be gay or anything like that. It was just never talked about that it was fine or normal or whatever you want to call it. it just wasn't talked about, but, yeah, so it wasn't like it was frowned upon by any means by my family. It was just, of course, by Catholicism. And then also, yeah, just me not hearing it was okay.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So, like, is it something, I mean, for sure when you're older, I feel like, but when you're that young still, like, is it a conscious thought like daily, or like do you think when you wake up like, well, I have to pretend today to be someone I'm not, you know, like, or that just you're a kid, you just, you know it about yourself, but you just kind of go on? Like,
I don't think I had to do that until like high school, because middle school I feel like I didn't have to do that. And for whatever, you know, I dated girls, quote unquote, in middle school, but middle school dating.
Oh, we're getting,
not real.
We'll get to that. Yeah.
It's not real dating. So in middle school, I didn't think about it nearly as much as I did as I got older.
It was just kind of like back of your mind. Like it just was kind of,
yeah,
you knew it about yourself to be true, but you weren't really like, it wasn't something you consciously thought about or like attempted to hide necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, cause at that, when you're that young, that's what I'm saying. Like,
excuse me. Yeah, when you're that young, it's like, it was all just what I, it was like sports and friends. And
right.
I, you know, I didn't care about all that. And that's also when I discovered like music and started playing music. So I had so many things to keep me distracted that it didn't really sit on my mind. So high school is definitely, you know, when that, when I would say that was more of a common and like a normal thought of mine.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But middle school, no, not so much. I would just, I just, I like realized it and then I would just not think about it as much as possible.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, that's why I'm like, when you're a kid and you're just living life, just doing whatever you're doing, you know, it's like
toilet papering, you know, yeah, double ditching,
yeah, you know, like fairly typical, you know, like kid things. That's why
prank
I'm like
phone calls.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I remember it, you know, it's like, you might have a crush on someone or whatever like that, but it was like, I don't know. When you're that young, it's like you don't really
act
on it. You don't get it. You don't understand it. It's just, I don't know. Yeah, it's like people might tease you or something about it, but
yeah,
it's and just, everyone just assumes. That's why I'm like,
and you're told, you're like, you think it's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So right, yeah, it's not like, I don't know. It's not real love, of course, when you're that young. It's just like infatuation or like, oh, I'm supposed to like girls, so I like girls or whatever.
But you just like ignore it kind of or something?
Yeah, yeah. I just didn't, I don't, from what I can remember, my memory is terrible, but yeah, yeah, from what I remember, yeah, I just didn't, I didn't think about it a whole lot when I was that young. It didn't bother me nearly as much as it did
right
as I got older.
Yeah, of course. I mean, especially back then. I mean, this is the 90s we're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like middle school and stuff. So
wait. No, I was in middle school in like the 2000.
Yeah.
2000, 99, 2000.
Oh, okay.
I think that's right. Cause I started high school 2001 and you were 2004. Yeah, that's right. Cause you and my brother are the same.
Yeah.
So it was like 99, 2000. I was in middle school.
Yeah. Like when cause that's when things start getting a little more like serious, I feel like. Cause then it's like, all right, you're obviously growing. It's just like a person, but then it's like your body. And that's when you start to get like
puberty.
Yeah. You get like hormonal and like, you know, that's when
things change.
Yeah, that's when you start. That's when you start getting that, you know, burning, you know, desire. You know, like that's when that starts to kind of form. So that's why I'm like, I feel like that might be a turning point,
for sure,
for a lot of people, because it's like that's when shit starts to get real.
Yeah, you know? In middle school, it's like peer pressure life. You know, that's when
I feel like
that's when peer pressure. So many things happen from middle school throughout high school.
Right.
It's like so many things. So, yeah, it's a pretty pivotal time.
It is pivotal, yeah. So then you're in, like, middle school, right? So then, like, we probably meet around that time, I think, maybe.
I was in eighth grade, and you were a junior.
Yeah.
It was so, like, I mean, that makes us sound, like, way further apart in age, but really it was, like, it's, like, a year and a half.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But it's, like, we were three or four grades separate, though.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. So we were at high school for like a year together, maybe.
Yeah, just when your senior, my freshman year.
Yeah, for like 1 year we had. Yeah.
Yeah, but we met when I was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was 14 going 15. Because I started school late. I didn't get held back, okay?
Right.
We start school late when you go to Catholic school. You have the option. So I started school a year later. So I graduated high school when I was 19, which I don't really tell people because here we are. So, and yeah, so I was older for my grade. So I had my permit when I was still in eighth grade. Wait, in freshman year, but then I started driving when I was a freshman.
Yeah.
Which is like unheard of.
That's very odd. Yeah. Yeah. That's peculiar.
Jan Van.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you were just all over the place, man. You were just breaking all kinds of, you know.
Breaking the rules.
Boundaries, yeah, and boundaries. Stuff, you know. It's like.
The barriers.
You're living as a gay. You're driving as a freshman. Like, it's just. Y2K was, you know Y2K. What I mean? Yeah, like it was really, things were popping off. And the turn of the millennium. Yeah.
That was pretty crazy time.
It was getting wild.
Yeah.
For sure.
That was weird.
So, because here's the thing, it's like when we meet, you know, we have friends and all that stuff. It's like, it was never a thought. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like most people, I feel like when you meet like other people, you never really, especially at that age, like we were never trying to profile each other or figure each other out. You know, it was just like we were just dudes hanging out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we were just.
Yeah,
but it wasn't even a concern. I mean, it's like it wasn't even a thought we had,
no,
at all.
And I think that goes to show like how our friends were, because nobody would have cared. I mean, you know, we'll get there. Nobody ended up caring anyways, but yeah, luckily nobody cared. It didn't matter either way.
It's like, I mean, we probably made plenty of gay jokes.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
And there was just a lot of tendencies, gay tendencies, but that's just boys hanging out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just the joking, whatever, the nudity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There was a lot of that. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a lot of that. So that's why I'm like, it was just, I don't know. Did that not like, were you relieved then? When you meet people, especially because this is another whole other thing, but I'm like, it's the punk scene, you know what I mean? Just the punk scene, the hardcore music scene, metal, whatever. It's like, it's very inclusive. It's like, you know, it's like anti-homophobic, it's anti-racist, like anti-misogyny. Like, it's just, it's such an inclusive opening community.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all kind of into that music, or like we all listened to punk rock, whatever. And then we all got into hardcore and metal together,
yeah.
You know? So I'm like, are you relieved then? Like, when that happens, like, I mean, we never cared in the first place. We were like skateboarder type, you know what I mean?
It's yeah.
Just, we never cared. But the fact that we got into like music that was very inclusive.
Accepting, yeah.
Yeah, it's inclusive. Like, does that, are you relieved then? Cause you're like, I don't have to worry about this really? Or like,
yeah, for sure. Cause I grew up, I think sixth grade, I was when I got heavily into rap, which is, you know,
it's a different vibe.
It's very, know? Yeah. And yeah. It is much more like homophobic in a way. So yeah, getting into music that was way more inclusive and accepting, I think was super important. And I'm like super grateful for that. But yeah, no, I think that definitely played a big role and it made me feel like way more comfortable. I mean, even though I was still uncomfortable,
right.
But yeah, it probably would have been way worse. I might've felt like I could never come out, like, you know, had I not met the friends that we had met through music and like the community that we
yeah.
had growing up.
So then are you like relieved? Like, because it's like now you're at the age where it's like, it's the, I don't know, it's like the pressure is mounting, you know what I mean? Because it's like, all right, now it's like your friends, whatever, are starting to get girlfriends, you know? And it's like people start to like date in junior high and high school, you know? So it's like it just becomes way more a part of your like daily life, you mm-hmm. know, kind of thing. Like just in your friend group or even your like your siblings, you know what I mean? Like your older siblings, like they have boyfriends,
relationships,
girlfriends,
yeah,
whatever. Like, do you start to get nervous at all then? Because you're like, oh shit, like my time's running out, or like,
yeah,
it's like things are getting more serious now. I might,
yeah, that started in high school, which is when I, which is why I dated a girl all of high school. Shout out Brooke Murphy. we're still, luckily, I ended up dating someone that was super cool,
super cool.
And you know, she was the leader of the Gay Straight Alliance, which also. Yeah. You know, she was like so pro and so, yeah, anti like homophobia and all that. So I lucked out on that regard. And also she's just so cool and like she was so sweet. So, yeah, I definitely felt, I feel like most kids feel that pressure in high school, though. Like it's all about like dating. A lot of people feel like, oh, everyone's dating and I'm not. So I got to date someone.
I don't know, man.
Okay. But you might not have. You might not have dated someone all throughout high school, but did you ever feel like you had to be?
I definitely never felt like I had to, no.
So, okay, well, some people might.
And it really wasn't an option. So, like, there was just really no pressure there at
you
all.
You just didn't try hard enough. But yeah, I think for me, too, it was because I was trying so hard for people to not find out that I was gay. That was more the pressure, I think, was the pressure I put on myself and the fear.
So that's... Like, is that where the pressure comes from? Because that's why I'm like, if you would have never dated anybody, you know, it's like no one would have really necessarily thought anything of it. They would have just, I mean, they would have just thought you never, that's how I feel like. I would just be like, oh, he never, because I know plenty of people who just never had a,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's
dated
like,
in high school,
I didn't
whatever.
Think anything of it other than they just never did that. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm like, did you feel like you had to actively be straight?
Yeah.
Like you
for did, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's why, I dated someone all throughout high school was because I was so afraid people were going to find out, that I just had to like keep up this facade of,
right.
You know, being a straight person.
Did you feel guilty?
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, not, I don't know. This probably made me sound terrible. Maybe not as guilty while we were dating, but afterwards I did feel it, but not terribly, but afterwards I felt terribly guilty.
Right.
Like when we broke up these senior year 2007, the year we graduated high school, we broke up and I felt terrible afterwards for sure. But in the time I didn't feel as guilty. And I think also cause I was such a terrible boyfriend that I didn't think about it that much.
yeah, that could help, maybe.
We hung out, and I wasn't terrible, like, rude to her, but we did not hang out nearly as much as, like, a couple would hang out in high school. I was, like, always with you guys and always with my friends.
That's true,
like,
yeah.
I think it was just obvious it wasn't a priority, relationship, so I was not, you know, rude or an ass to her. I just could have been so much better, you know? So, I mean, I felt probably a little bit guilty, but not nearly as much as I felt, like, after the fact.
Yeah. Or, but maybe, like, the guilt outweighs the, like, the fear, the insecurity, whatever, you know? Or, like, it's better to feel that guilt, though. It was easier, maybe, to feel the guilt than to publicly just come out.
Accept
it, yeah. Because, I mean, it can go badly, you know. It's like it can go really,
and that's what
crazy when that happens or whatever, you know. So it's like,
and that's
people
what
have mixed reactions, and it's like,
and that's what I was worried about, which is like, you, even though it's, you know, it is true for a lot of people that come out, for me it wasn't, but I just thought I'm gonna lose everybody when I come out, like, right. I was like, my parents are gonna drop me, my family's gonna hate me, my friends are gonna talk to me, even though we had a gay friend throughout high school, George, you know, and nobody cared at all. But you don't think that when it's you, you know, you feel different. And then lots of people aren't that lucky. Lots of people have parents and family that are homophobic and don't accept it and don't agree. And then they get dropped or, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah, you're like shunned by your family. Yeah,
so I feared that. I never had a reason to, but you think it's going to happen.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Or it's like, yeah. I mean, I guess that's, yeah. It's like in the change, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, people just might look at you different or treat you different or
for sure
treat you worse, you know. You're like,
and coming out in high school,
and that's the thing, it's high school, it's like just the like social circles and like the anxiety, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
like,
no, it would have been way too much. I mean,
it's already a lot of pressure just as a teenager in high school with just everything, and this is even before like Instagram and like
Facebook, social media,
and stuff.
Yeah, MySpace though.
MySpace was like starting to emerge.
Bulletin boards,
then.
That passive aggressiveness.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, but you had MySpace coming, but it's like it was already so, like, I don't know, overwhelming just to be a teenager. You know that it's like,
yeah, it was the last thing I wanted.
Yeah,
and there is definitely times like, excuse me, I wish I would have come out sooner, but I'm glad I didn't, because it all, you know, worked out the way it did. And had I not come out, if I did come out sooner, I wouldn't have met my now husband, most likely. Or, you know, maybe I would have, but it just would have been different. And,
yeah,
you know, that's a whole new thing, because I, you know, I met him so soon after I came out publicly to family and stuff. So, yeah, it would have all been way different. You know, it would have been cool, just because I would have liked to, I wish I could have been like brave enough, and I would have been like that kid that's like, I don't give a fuck, like, this is me, you know. Not sounding like that movie, it's all cheesy, but you know what I mean. So that would have been cool, but you know, it worked out the way it did, and you know, I felt ready.
Plus, like, dude, I mean, I don't know, it's like Slow is a small town, and it's
everyone knows, it's like six degrees.
Yeah, and it's just, you see everyone everywhere. It's like the downtown is small, there's only one high school. It's like,
yeah,
it's just, I don't know. It was the whole town is so inclusive and like isolated, you know. It wasn't like you would just get lost in the shuffle or whatever. Plus,
yeah,
we were like friends with a lot of people, and we would go to like, you know, parties and stuff all that. It was just, I don't know, everyone's so connected in that town.
And especially,
like, that it's like,
for people to find out something like that, what they would consider juicy.
Oh, in that,
it would have spread like wildfire.
Yeah, exactly.
It would have been everywhere in an instant. Not because it was me. It would have been anybody. I don't remember anybody being out in high school except for George, and like,
dude,
even that was still kind of like felt down low, kind of like we all knew, and I think people knew, but it wasn't, you know, I don't know, he kept way more to himself, and
yeah,
so yeah, it definitely would have been a thing in such a small town,
that's for sure. Yeah, and it's like, I don't know. Yeah,
and my brother was like an athlete, and then my sisters, they all went to the same high school, three older siblings
who all went to the same school, and it's like your dad went there,
my dad,
you
went
know
there.
It's just like
my mom. Yeah,
yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just, it's definitely different, I feel like, when you're in that kind of situation than when you're just like, if you're in some massive city where it's like,
yeah,
you know, no one knows who you are, kind of. And it's like, I don't know, it's just, It's a small town.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like it's.
Yeah, it would have been the gossip.
It would have been, yeah, pretty hot gossip. Plus, honestly, with just the age we were at and our friends and stuff like that, you know, I'm like, it's I feel like it almost might be better that it was later when we were all had kind of moved on and grown up a little bit, you know, like rather than when we were all teenagers, you know, because like we'd say dumb stuff, you know, just for like the shock factor or whatever. And it's
I mean, we were like ignorantly homophobic in our own right. You know what I mean? Like weren't homophobes, but like we said jokes and shit all the time that we shouldn't have said, but that it's an excuse. It was a long time ago, but yeah, we were just like dumbass kids and you know, we never were like that, and we accepted anybody and everybody. Right. But yeah, we certainly said things that were like, never say again. Like, and like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. Just, yeah, that age is, I don't know. I feel like you're so stubborn and, well, speaking personally, but like,
no, I still
you're just,
am.
You know, stubborn and like thick headed. And even though we were all open and like, we just were people having fun. Like, I don't know. You just never know. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing.
We're all close friends, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it didn't really matter. I mean, it never would have, but like,
yeah,
just even on like the out, you know, on the outside or whatever, like it, I don't know. It just might not go over as well when we're all kind of still maturing, develop, whatever you want to call it.
It would have been way different. Yeah. It would have been way different than coming out as an adult.
I think so too.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
You're right. All right. So you're like in high school now, you know, we're all friends hanging out, or this is maybe even after high school now. And it's like, we have a lot of, I don't know, like, so we're all of our friends. We have female friends. We have male friends. We're all hanging out all the time. We're going to shows a lot. We're going to parties and stuff like that. And it's just, I don't know. People start to, you know, mingle a little more and stuff like that. And it's just, it becomes way more of a thing. Like there was some other, you know, women that came into our friend circle or whatever, you know,
I remember.
Yeah. So that's why I'm like all these different, you know, like potential interests and stuff like that. Like, we ever just like, oh fuck, here we go again. Or it's like, are you ever just like, God, like, can I get a break from this? Like, damn it.
Yeah. So when me and my ex-girlfriend had broken up the year we graduated in 2007, I didn't date anybody or anything up until I came out. So after I came out, so that was what I was 19, 22. So, you know, whatever, 3 years later, roughly, maybe more, a little bit. I didn't talk to or date anybody. So,
but we had like, you know, where I mean, we had like other friends.
Yes. We had people come to the picture that caused drama. Yes, because they were interested in me and I was clearly not interested, which caused problems. So that sucked. And that actually led to me telling Buddy, because somebody had liked me and we were driving. He was just like, I don't get it. Like, why don't you like her? Like, why don't you just, what's the big deal? You know, and I was driving. So I pulled over and I remember, like, it's funny. Cause the first, like, I remember, if there's one thing I can remember that I think I'll always remember, it's telling people, certain people at least, when I came out, like telling them, like, I'll never forget like that moment.
Yeah.
And for Buddy, it was, you know, we pulled over, I was driving and I was just like, I'm gay. And I think, yeah, I don't know, maybe he had an idea, but and luckily, obviously he did not care and was totally cool. And it actually ended up being kind of fun because when we were hanging out with people, it was like only him and I knew.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It was like, we would say things and everybody else would be like, what?
Like inconspicuous little like,
yeah. A little under the radar gay jokes,
right,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So it was definitely an issue. There was three women I remember particularly that were like, had an interest like at separate times throughout the course of the 4 years or whatever. That was like
hot item.
Okay. That's not how I want that to come out. Come on. I'm just saying, I can remember three people in
all
4 years.
Dude, we get
okay.
It, dude. Yeah.
Fuck off. So, yeah, it caused an issue a couple times.
Right.
One of them was like real drama.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Yeah.
One of them was a lot. But yeah, the other two weren't like that big of a deal.
Right.
And then eventually, yeah, I was just like, I can't take this anymore.
Is that, I mean, yeah, not, I mean, it was a long time coming anyway, but like, yeah, whenever that happens, are you just like, oh, like, this is avoidable, you know what I mean? And you're like, but I don't know, but I'm still putting myself through it. Is that what's like, personally at least, that like what kind of spurs you to be like, all right, you know what, I cannot take this anymore?
I mean, that was maybe, I mean, that was for sure a part of it. The biggest part, I think, for coming out was just I was so depressed that I was so over it. And it was like, you know, got to my lowest of lows of thinking like, okay, I'll kill myself. Sorry, I said that weird. Or I come out and see what happens, you know? Yeah. And that was certainly where it got, because I was depressed as hell from like 14, which is where I think it really clicked. And there was also other family things happening at the time. So 14 up until I came out, I was super depressed. So I feel like those are my only, in my head, those were the only options I had. Yeah. Like, I mean, either just live a double life the rest of my life, which I thought about, which would have made me so miserable and exhausted and women, and, or, you know, just come out and get it over with, or not live. So clearly I chose to come out and get it over with.
Do you like look stuff up or anything like before, like
porn? Well, is that what you're implying?
No, I don't know how that would help this situation. I mean, it might help you like take your mind off it. Sure. Yeah. And I know you looked that up for sure.
Okay. Well, let's not assume.
But I'm
a good Catholic boy.
Right. But I'm saying like resources. Like, do you look up resources or try to find like outlets about coming out to your parents just like anything like that to like maybe help you?
No, I didn't look up anything.
You just were all in your head.
All in my head. I didn't look up anything. I didn't do anything. I think what helped, excuse me, good Lord. I
should have had that water, dude.
I know.
I offered it to you.
God. It's okay. Because I came out to friends first, which definitely helped. And I remember I only told 4 people for a while. And then I eventually started to tell more people. And then I told my oldest sister, Danny, who were obviously super close. Yeah. And I told her like a week before I told the rest of my family. And I knew she wasn't going to care. But it just felt right. Like, I told her, so it was time for me to tell other people. You talk. I'm going to get water.
This guy right here. What am I going to just ask questions that aren't going to be answered? Yeah, like, what? No. Okay. Well... So this is what I'm thinking, because now it's like, all right, so we're coming up to like probably 2009 or 10, right around here, like right around this point, you know, we're probably in like the 2010 era. Because you've told.
Yeah, because 2007 was when we graduated high school and broke up. And then, a few years later, so 2010.
We're like coming up to the 2010 arena. Yeah. Like, when you tell Buddy, you know, like, are you already feeling, like, relieved, you know? Like, do you feel already like, okay, I just told this one person and I feel this much better? Imagine if I told, like, everybody, you know? Like, was it significant enough?
So Buddy wasn't the first person that I told. The first person I told was... somebody I liked at the time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't know if I should name drop people or not. Okay, so the first person I told was because I liked them. And it didn't... it went okay. It didn't go terrible. But right. It felt wrong to not tell the truth since I was like coming out. It would have felt wrong for me to not tell them that I liked them. And I feel like it was pretty obvious. But so that one... It went okay, but like I didn't hear from them for 3 weeks after. But I remember vividly, like, you know, where it was when it happened. And I remember going to bed that night thinking I told someone, and I was like, oh shit, now like they're going to tell, he's going to tell everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
I was like horrified, which I don't think he told anybody. I remember going to bed being like so, so anxious, not panic attack, but just terribly anxious. And then, I told Glenn second, and that was probably like a week or two later. And then I told Buddy.
Yeah.
But they were all within the same month. They were all like in November of that same year. But it did, telling the first person, it did, like after that night, like I did feel better, like, for
you
sure.
You could tell.
I felt, like, way better.
That's what I mean. Like, you can tell, like, okay, this is probably going to make me feel way better. Like, you just know already. Like,
it's cliche.
For the most part. I mean,
it's cliche and cheesy, but like, it does. It gets easier. Right. Like, the more people you tell, you know, like the whole it gets better thing. Yeah. It really does. So, I told those three people. And by the time I knew Glenn was going to be like so chill, obviously, and not care in the slightest. So that helped a lot. And then, went down the, went and told Buddy. And then the first four, I remember vividly, like I told Nick was the fourth person. And that didn't happen until like months later.
Right.
I can't remember exactly how much longer, but it was a while later. I only told them three originally at first, which I didn't tell you because I didn't want to tell you over the phone.
That's right.
Because I
had
moved
at this point.
Yeah, you're in San Diego
already.
With one
of our friends, our mutual friends and I moved to San Diego. So we were already living down here.
Yeah.
You were still back up Central Coast, 805, slow town.
Stupid.
So that's why. I mean... Like over the phone, or you're not going to text somebody that, you know.
And you don't
mean?
Talk on the phone, so I didn't have a choice.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I'm not, you know.
I'm aware.
I'm a psycho.
Okay.
So this is all going on. I'm living down here. You're still living back home.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so you're feeling better already, just because now it's like people in our friends. Like, no.
And they
it's
all like told their girlfriends. So, like,
it's just, it spreads a little bit just because it's kind of inevitable. And it's like, all right. So then, like, we'll cut your family. We'll just go there next.
Yeah.
So, what are you thinking preparing, other than like maybe your siblings, like who you know will be fine or whatever?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, okay, your parents, which I mean, honestly, you would assume are fine too, just knowing them,
you know? Yeah.
And, knowing everything that they've put up with, just with everybody that's been coming in and out of that house over the years, you know, they've been busy parents, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Between
you could say that.
Between our friends, like, and then all your siblings and then their friends and everything.
Yeah.
So like when you're
they're over it.
When you're about to tell them, like your parents, you're coming out to your parents, like you know what I mean? It's like that's a big one.
Yeah.
You've been chilling with this secret, whatever, your whole life, you know. It's like think of how much time you spend with your parents, and it's like now you're gonna tell them. So it's like what are you thinking? How do you get like into that? How do you like psych yourself up? What do you do? Like,
yeah. I would say, because I didn't tell my family till a year after I had told my first few friends. Yeah. So it was almost a year later. It was November I came out to my friends when I was 22, and then the following October was when I told my family.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Like
so,
a year, dude.
A whole year. And the problem, too, was, or not problem, but an issue was I was afraid they were going to hear from, like, friends.
Someone else.
Because I had, at that point, I had told, like, so many friends.
Right.
And then, so I was afraid they were going to find out the wrong way, which my dad already knew. I'm pretty positive, but my mom had no idea. So I think the way it was,
he had a hunch, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. So funny. Speaking back when we were kids and we used to get naked a lot, we were in the My Tribe, which was Jess Winslow's minivan.
Yeah.
Mom's minivan. And we had the seats out in the back. So
It
was like me and Phil Garza and George, like a bunch of us were going to a party. What was his name? The car guy, Alex.
Oh yeah. We'll just leave it at I'll just call him, and his name is Alex.
So we were going there, and I like pull my pants down because there's no seats in the back at all, just the front two seats.
Right.
And then Jess starts driving erratically and like getting spilling all over. So some Phil Garza takes a picture on a Polaroid because that's what era this was. And his sister, who's younger than me, comes to school the like next after that weekend with the pictures, and it's my dick. You can see me naked in the photos. And I took it. I was like, you can't have like, don't show people this.
Like she had the Polaroid.
Yeah. Like, well, not sorry. The film.
She had the film.
Yeah. Not Polaroid, but it's like, remember you take it to Rite Aid and you get developed.
Yes. Like a film camera. Yeah. Right. Little wind up.
But like the ones you toss after you get, you know,
Yeah. Disposable.
Disposable. Yeah. That's the word I wanted. Yeah. So I take it and she's like, it's okay. I have more. I was like, damn it. So I took that one and I left it in my shorts. You know, your parents kind of helped do laundry back
like
then.
Like you
sometimes.
Had the roll of film.
No, I just had the picture.
You had the actual
the actual picture.
Photograph.
She had already printed
the developed photograph.
The developed photograph in my shorts. My mom or my dad does my laundry at one point. I think this is when I was probably 15, something like that.
Yeah.
And 15, 16, maybe 15.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And my dad was on the computer And I was like walking down my hallway one day and he like tosses the picture on the desk. He was like, so what are you, the gay stripper of the band? I was like, no, what? Like, I don't remember what I said, but I tried my damn near best to play it
right,
off.
Right, yeah, you like
I was
to,
horrified right. that he just caught me.
Of course, yeah.
Even though, like, nothing gay was happening in that actual photo. But, yeah,
technically, no, but I mean...
I mean, I guess it's subjective, but...
you know, you could probably argue. It's kind of gay, though, you know?
Yeah, I guess. So, that's what I think gave my dad the first, like, even if he was... not serious, but yeah, he definitely like, didn't seem stoked.
Right.
So that's why I think kind of, and then, you know, I didn't date someone for so long that I think was also another pretty big red flag for him.
Right.
Or indicator, sorry. Yeah. So yeah, I would say me preparing for that was the whole process of like telling friends first and then waiting so long and then telling my sister first, like a week before. My oldest sister helped a lot. And then I was like, what am I waiting for? I need to get this over with. So it worked out because I was playing in Heart to Heart at the time and we were going on tour the next day. So as I told Danny, a week goes by. So then I get off work. It's like 9 or 9:30. I go home and, so my dad's in the computer room. I haven't come to my parents' room. My mom's already in there. And then I sit down, and I'm already grinning. Like, my mom's like, what? What is it? You know, nosy Janelle. So then my dad just sitting there, like, comfortable, hanging out. And then I was just like, I need to tell you guys something. And I'm, like, smiling. And I was just like, I'm gay. And, like, my mom's jaw drops because she has no idea.
Right, yeah, of course.
Because, you know, sweet Janelle is naive to things, you know.
Yeah, yeah, you could say that.
A little gullible.
Sure. Yeah.
But so she had no idea. And then my dad just said, okay. And then yeah, so I had prepared that scenario because if they for some reason reacted poorly, I was gonna be gone for 3 weeks. So I didn't, you know, like maybe that would have given them time to like to clear their head to talk
it's
about
a good
it.
Strategy for sure.
Yeah, it was like worst case scenario if that happened. But yeah, luckily they did not care at all. And my mom, they cared in the sense that like they felt bad that I couldn't say something sooner. So, I remember being on tour and the, like Nick's mom and my mom had talked and my mom was like crying and she just felt bad because she felt bad for me that I couldn't say something sooner or felt like I couldn't.
Right.
So they ended up being like incredibly supportive, obviously. But yeah, my dad just said like, well, be safe, be careful. And I was like, yeah, I know. Like I haven't even, nothing's happened. I'm good. Right. You know, like I'm safe. But yeah, no, they were super supportive. So it was really just me mentally preparing and like, telling people was my way of like
building
the courage. And then I was just like, I'm leaving for 3 weeks. I have to do it now. Like there's no way I could have waited any longer. And then after I told my parents, it was like game on. I didn't care at all anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And my family. So yeah, I told my parents. And then I went and told Coulter and Nikki, like, right after. I called Coulter and woke him up. And it was a classic, like, hey, can you have a minute to talk? And then, of course, you get anxious when you hear that. You know?
Because you know it's serious.
Yeah.
Like, usually if someone calls you on the phone, and it was, it's like, and hey, do you have a minute? You're like, oh, fuck.
It was, like 9:30, too, at night. Yeah. So, yeah, I drive over there and tell him, and he was totally fine. And then I go over and tell Nikki, and she gets, like, excited. And, you know.
They probably think you got someone pregnant. You know, it's like
so they were hoping
the opposite. Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh Lord. Yeah.
No. Yeah. But everybody was totally cool. And yeah, nobody cared at all. So I'm super lucky for that. Cause it doesn't always work out that
That's
way
for sure.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had really family was supportive and obviously all of our friends were supportive. Yeah. So yeah.
So then after that, you're cruising. You know what I mean? Kind of.
I remember I was on, that same tour and we were playing in Reading and some kid was like said the F word and you know and we were in like a circle of us and Nick got like super defensive and pissed and was like we let it go like it happened. He was like we were standing in a circle and somebody was like he was like oh this kid was like oh I should pull my dick out and he like went to do it. And then he stopped. He's like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not a F word. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
So we all kind of were like we all kind of cringe, but no one said anything. And then it
But they didn't know, did they?
No, no one knew.
It was just your band knew? Or
yeah,
Nick?
just the band knew at that time. Okay,
so only your band knows. The rest of the bands or anybody on the tour or at the shows sheds, don't even know.
The Sheds and Trey, the Ruler, none of them knew yet. And
so they just think they're dudes joking. You know what I mean?
And this guy wasn't part of the tour. He was like a local kid in Reading. Okay, it was his local band, you know? So he said it. And then it just ruminated throughout the night. And then Nick got pissed and went and called him out later, like confronted him. And I was with him. Nothing happened, obviously. But, it was just like he called him out and it got awkward, but no one fought. So it was whatever. But that was immediately like after he knew. So I knew they all had my back and like. And the kid wasn't calling me that word.
Yeah,
it was just a general, but it was still
a guy like, that uses the word like a lot of kids did.
Growing up. Everybody was super cool though, and like everybody was really supportive. And I think me coming out helped a lot of our friends be like, oh shit, I probably shouldn't say that anymore.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
Because I stopped saying it like maybe a year or two before that I can remember. Because I was like. That's when it clicked, like, I should probably stop saying this if I don't want other people to say it. So, I think it clicked for me. And then when people find out, naturally they're like, oh, shit, I probably shouldn't say that around him.
Yeah.
Or in general, and not just me. But
yeah, it's good to start, locally, though. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to say that's around my friend.
Right.
And then, you take
just
that.
You stop saying it.
Yeah, exactly. You take that, you apply it to one person maybe, and then all of a sudden you're just not saying it around them. But then... you're not saying it at all anymore. You're not saying it to your friends, whatever it is, and it's just, you'll forget about it. And
there's just so many other words.
A lot of words out there, man. A lot of words.
A lot of different words.
There's a lot of words, dude.
There is.
A lot of words out there and they're just way more funny. You know what I mean? It's like, you can just call someone something stupid and it's just like way more funny typically too.
Yeah. And it's like,
and it's way more insulting.
Yeah. Like, the F word doesn't mean what you want it to mean, when you're like, saying it in that way.
It's dated, and it's kind of like...
Yeah, move on. Move on, people.
All right, so 2000... I guess I must have been 11 then when you came down to visit me. Maybe. Because I think it was the next summer. I don't think it was the summer I moved. I think it was probably the next summer. Yeah, 2011, that would have been...
2012, but no, that doesn't make sense because
unless it was the summer I moved, which it might have been,
because I posted. I remember that tour. It was in February. I forget what year, but I had posted on there like right after that night. That's what I was getting to. That night it happened. I posted on Facebook. Like that's when I publicly was like, Facebook publicly.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I'm gay. If you have a problem with it, eat shit. Is what I said. Nice. Which people probably thought I was kidding, but I think a lot of people knew I wasn't. So I had to have told you before that.
Okay, and that was when.
That was February 2012.
Okay. So, yeah.
I think so.
I only lived in that apartment from the summer of 2010 to the summer of 2011. I was only there for 1 year.
Okay. So, then I came out, and I told you in 2011 at some point.
Probably like the summer, or whenever you guys came to visit, whenever that damn trip was.
Because I wouldn't have posted that if you hadn't known.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
So,
you come down to visit me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's you and like a few of our other friends. They're going to all... think, right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, John and Anna and Tommy.
Yeah, was that one, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. And then, so like, we just think we're hosting our friends. They're coming down to see us, whatever, which was true.
I mean,
that's what the trip was for, was just to hang out. It wasn't necessarily
a Stuart coming out party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like, some road trip, But I do remember it quite well, obviously, like, just because we're good homies and it wasn't that long ago. And like,
yeah,
it was a pivotal, like it was like a milestone. It didn't like change anything, but it was just like a moment. You know what I mean? It was a moment. And I shared some of this, at your wedding.
At the speech.
Yeah.
You said how I told you, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because now like, so you and I were like, we're good friends, we're pretty good friends. Like, we were no strangers. We were no strangers to, like, sharing a bed, per se. Just on road trips, whatever we're doing. Like, we've slept in close quarters a ton since then. So it was not out of the ordinary for you to, like,
excuse me,
stay with me
Sleep in your bed.
Yeah, we would share a bed.
Yeah. Out of the ordinary would be me sleeping naked in your bed, but you didn't really have a choice, you know?
Which was pretty much how this was. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's how it was, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
We were
laying in your bed.
So you and I, you come down to visit. It's like the night or whatever, the first night, whatever. You and I are just laying in my bed. I was not completely naked because I definitely...
No,
I don't sleep naked.
I've still never seen you naked.
I don't sleep naked, though. It's just, I don't like the idea of that. One, I don't like it.
But it's way more comfortable.
Yeah, I know, but you got your rubbing all over everything, and it's like, I don't know, it's just, I don't know, dude.
Wash your sheets.
Yeah, true. I mean, I could, their laundry exists, but I'm like, I don't know, dude. I just never found it comfortable, really, either, though. It's not too free.
It's not for you. It's okay.
Yeah, it's not, so... I'm in like maybe
you're
just
in clothes.
Shorts.
I'm
just
sleeping
in shorts.
Probably.
Yeah. And then it's like, so we're pretty scantily clad.
Right.
We're sharing my bed. It's pretty late.
It's late. It's like early in the morning, yeah, like 1 in the morning.
Yeah, we're looking at like the early hours of the morning, but we're just laying awake talking, like in the darkness.
Yeah.
Just, you know, talking about whatever. But then I remember though, you did preface it. Like you said something like it was one of those things where it was like, okay, there was like the silence, you know, like that brief silence.
I was like, hey,
yeah, exactly.
I need to tell you something.
so you already know like something's coming, you know, like, cause it's like, we're like just joking or whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, but I need to tell you, you know what I mean? It's like, it gets serious for a minute. Yeah. And I think you started laughing too.
I did.
Like
for
you
sure.
Definitely started like giggling.
Yeah.
Kind of because it's like.
Plus, I was like laying naked in your bed. Which...
Yeah, and we're both just in my bed together, like.
And we were probably like messing around, not like touching each other. I mean, like wrestling. I was probably like hitting you with a pillow or something.
Maybe
you know?
Something. Yeah, like it definitely was, you know, something two homies.
Yeah,
we
you know.
Do. You know?
Two straight guys.
Yeah, for sure. Right. So then. You definitely say something, and then I'm like, okay. You know, I'm getting ready. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh, shit, like, what's he about to tell me? I have no idea, obviously. And I've never even thought about it, though. I think even in, like, our entire history, granted, you were, like, with women and stuff, you know? Like, I mean, you pulled it off, for sure, or I'm, you know, because, like...
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, like, you definitely pulled it off because I just, but it, not that I ever doubted your
you just
sexuality.
I never once thought
like, I wonder if he's faking this or, you know, and it just was never even a thought. So then I'm thinking, okay, like, he's going to tell me something. It sounds pretty serious. So then you tell me, you just say it.
Yeah.
And like, from what it just was like, I don't know. It didn't mean nothing to me, but I was just like, oh, like, I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
that it's like, I don't know.
No, I get what you're saying. It wasn't a game. It wasn't going to change anything,
no, like,
but
I
it
just,
was still like an important moment.
I just thought about it, kind of like, you know, took it in, was just like, okay, like that's, but then I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But then I remember telling you like, I had to get for real for a moment, you know what I mean? Like, we're having this moment, you know? So I'm like, I'm trying to get real. I remember telling you kind of, like, just know that, like, I love you all the same. Like, this does not change anything about our friendship.
And
like,
Matt doesn't tell people he loves them very often.
That's true, so. Yeah. And so, like, it was one of those things where I'm like, this does not change, like, anything about our history, any way I feel about you. Like, I don't care about you any less, you know what I mean? Like, it was just... To me personally, I already knew like we had gay friends already,
yeah,
who I liked, you know what I mean, who I knew and were good friends of mine, and I never cared ever anyway. I mean, it seems like this one might have been a little like heavier because
yeah,
we're so close and we've known each other for so long, you know. But yeah, like, I mean, I remember thinking about it for sure, like processing it, thinking like, okay, he's my best friend is a gay man.
Yeah,
I remember thinking it for sure, but then I was just like, yeah, I just was like, dude, I love you. Like, it doesn't even change anything. It won't change anything about like our future, whatever it is. Like, I don't know. We might have hugged, maybe.
Probably.
Or like a pat on the back, you know?
I guess if you hug in bed, you're cuddling.
So yeah, I mean, I don't think it really evolved into a full-on cuddle. But no. I think it was some sort of physical, like, what do you want to call it? Like
affection.
Yeah, high affection. Five. Yeah, just be like, whatever. Dude, I'm like, I fucking love you, dude. You know what I mean? So I remember it went over pretty, like, casually. Kind of like, I don't know. I remember the moment for sure. I mean, we spent a lot of time together. And I don't remember every interaction we've ever had, but like that one obviously stands out. Like yeah. I remember that one very vividly, or I mean, it seems like I do, I don't know, but yeah. And then, I mean, we spent that weekend or whatever it was together. Like mm-hmm. it was really just,
normal. It was like, it was another day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it, whatever you want to call it, resumed, whatever, like just, literally the next morning, whatever. Yeah. Really didn't change anything, how I felt about you or anything. So, I mean, that's why I was like, I don't, but it was a special moment, man. It was a good moment. I think I like remember it fondly.
Yeah, me too.
I mean? Like, it's funny to me, I think.
Yeah.
Like, just the circumstances under which it happened. I don't know. Like, but yeah, no, I mean, it really, I don't know. It was a good special moment for me. Too. I'm glad you waited to tell me in person.
Yeah, I would have felt.
Yeah, it's like
we would have felt
it's a
wrong.
Little too informal, a little too impersonal. You know,
yeah.
Or like a text message or something like that.
No,
like,
no way.
I mean, this is 2011, so it's like.
It was funny because the other people that were there that weekend still didn't know, and I had told Luke like even after that, and you live with him. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, there was other reasons why I like you know waited to tell him or whatever, but.
Yeah.
I remember vividly, you know, then I told him too. So yeah, the other people there, it was just funny cause they did not know, no idea.
Right.
But now you knew this thing. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So now you're like, you feeling this dog? You ready? Do you keep rolling?
Yeah.
You
good.
Keep rolling? All right, cool.
I'm
All right. Okay. Cause you know, I can keep rolling, dude. Like, dude, the amount of times, like at work or just whatever it was back, like that other people, like customers and stuff would cut me off from speaking to them so they could like leave or like shop or whatever they were doing was like,
you're traumatized.
It wasn't uncommon. Yeah. I'll put it that way. So, all right. So now you're like,
actually, you know what, dude?
Dude, we're cruising, man. This is sick. So now you're like, you're out pretty much to everybody. I mean,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like all of your close friends,
the people that matter. Knew.
Yeah. Your immediate family. It's kind of spread around like our little friends. Although it's like, it's different now too, because people have moved out of town, you know, like it's just our friend group
yeah.
has splintered
we
because people
age.
Just grow up. Yeah. We're all in our 20s now. So
yeah.
It's like people have just moved on. So it wasn't like we're all just in town gossiping or whatever, but it's like, so now you're out to, yeah, exactly. All the closest people, the people that matter, friends, family. It's like it went over pretty well for the most part, more or less.
Yeah, no, I don't think I had anybody. Only one person I know of was uncomfortable, and I saw them. They were dressed up in a, like a suit, like a tie for like an interview somewhere. I saw them downtown in Scene Alley, like post scene years, you know. But
right, well, yeah, it's always Scene Alley though.
Yeah.
It's forever Scene Alley, even though no scenesters hang out there anymore.
Those yeah. don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw them and I said, "Oh, you look good," because they looked nice, you know. Which, and they took it as like Stuart was hitting on me, like
oh, of
and
course.
They told someone, you know,
like
what
don't
mean?
Flatter yourself, yeah.
yeah, which I wasn't. In the slightest.
Yeah.
I was just like, hey, you look nice.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because gay men can't say that to straight men.
It can't.
So.
It can't be done. It's a pass. You're making a pass. You know what I mean? Like, you can't give compliments anymore.
Might as well have given him a roofie at that moment.
Yeah, that's the price, is you can't compliment straight men anymore. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Which, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can compliment me, though.
I do all the time.
Yeah, and I need it, and I appreciate it.
So, yeah, that was only one person that was, like, uncomfortable. And then they eventually, like, I talked to them later, and they were fine. Like, they came around. It was just the initial, I don't know, the shock maybe for them and whatever it was. But it worked out better in the end. But, yeah, no, I had nobody, to my knowledge, cared or stopped talking to me or anything like that because of it.
Yeah, that's like, very fortunate, I feel
yeah.
like, you know, which, again, for I attribute to, like, the music, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. Like, I mean, people have whatever, like, loose, progressive, liberal ideologies and morals or whatever anyway, you know, regardless of what music they listen to. But just for our scene, our group of friends who are pretty much all connected via the music scene, punk, hardcore, metal, anything like that, pop punk, like, I feel like that's what I'm saying is, like, it would almost be hypocritical, you know, if they felt otherwise. Because it's like, it's just...
That's not what it's about.
Yeah, it's just, the scene is all about community and just accepting people and, like, I don't know, it's...
Yeah, it would have been weird to have someone say something.
Yeah, it's like...
Negative.
It feels like it's nice to kind of have that, you know? And, like, I mean, just... I attribute that a lot, too, personally. Like, just for my own, like, free... brain thinking or whatever is a lot about the music scene. Not that I was ever into anything that was like homophobic or whatever,
but yeah, it taught you.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, that is what, because like I grew up going to like churches and stuff too, and like conservative, you know, conservative like Christian churches. Yeah, and it's like
Christ church.
I mean, so it's like some of those places who I don't know if they've changed at all. It's been a long time since I have ever associated with any of them. But, I mean, they were, like, hardline, you know, straight-laced places, you know? But, I mean, it was honestly, like, once music kind of took over my life, like, the scene, it was, like, that became just, like, the set of principles that I, like, believed in and followed, which is, like, also kind of funny, I think, because it's, like, what they're teaching, for the most part, is, like, complete inclusiveness,
which is what religion's supposed to teach but doesn't. We got that from music.
Like, that's what's so odd about it is, like, I get it, they're yelling and stuff maybe, which is a turn off for people, you know, and it's like they are angry, you know, but it's like
just the message
is exactly like, the principle of like a lot of this music is just to like love people for who they are, and it's like accept people for who they are as they are.
Just
like,
to be a good person, is what it's trying to say.
It's just like community. It's like help people, like be accepting, you know. And it's like it's like don't be an asshole. It's like that's like the underlying thing. You know? It's just it's anti everything that is like separates people. Like it's just I don't know. So that I think. Personally, for me, that obviously helped my views towards the world and things like this. And then,
yeah, me too, for sure.
Especially in our friend group too. I'm like, dude, it's like it's such a relief because we had religious friends too, you know. So it's like,
yeah, still do.
Yeah, so it was like, I don't know. It's comforting to know, kind of, that like, I don't know,
we found something.
Yeah, and just even if maybe people don't agree with it or whatever, it's like they can look past it at least and still like be friends with you or talk. You know, it's like they don't cut you out or anything like that, which happens. I don't know if it has happened to you, but like
no one has.
It happens though, you know what I mean? Like it does happen where it's like,
oh, it does. People
find out and they're like, I don't ever want to be friends with you anymore. It's like,
yeah, like I have friends that, like, you know, family, this is like awkward with family won't even talk to them.
And like that's terrible. That's what I'm saying, like that's terrible.
So yeah, no, it happens, but it didn't to me, luckily. So
yeah, well, that's very fortunate.
I am.
That's nice. Okay, so let me just refer to this here real, you know, my little scribbles here. Okay, so you're the band Heart to Heart.
Uh-huh.
So you play in a band, or you used to, at this time, I mean.
At the time.
At the time, it you were in a band, Heart to Heart.
2011 is when I joined, and I think I left in 2013?
Well,
yeah.
Because the album came out. In 2012.
10 years next year.
Dude, yeah, which is also crazy. So Heart to Heart puts out their self-titled album. So this is another thing which I think is kind of cool, which I don't know if you remember this, maybe. But so the album might not have been out yet, like released to the masses. But you might have sent it to me or something like that.
Yeah,
like the masters or something like that, you know? And so I'm like super stoked. Like, you'd already put out the EP.
Mm-hmm. The year before.
Death Proof. Yeah, already. And so then the full length is coming out. It's a big deal, whatever. And I think you sent it to me before it was officially out.
Yeah.
And then so I'm like listening to it, you know, and I have not heard any of these songs or I know nothing about them. So I listened to the album and I distinctly remember hearing one song and being like, dude, this song is super catchy. And that's really all that hooked me was, mm-hmm. like, it was just a catchy song, whatever.
Yeah.
So then if I remember correctly, we were like talking on text or whatever. And you asked me, like, okay, now that you've listened to the album, what's your favorite song? Uh-huh. And I said, I think my favorite song is number 6, which is called The Turn. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, oh, no way, because you wrote that song?
Yeah, right? Lyrically.
Lyrically, yeah. Wrote that song.
Basically, yeah. I wrote all of it, and then Nick and John switched some things around, like the chorus Nick had. I forget what I originally had written, but Nick changed up the chorus a little bit. But yeah, all the words in that song were like what I had written on my notepad, but like they kept the verses and the bridge exactly the same. They just kind of like rearranged the chorus.
Right.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking, first of all, one, that's cool that like the song that just stood out to me or the one that hooked me the most on that, you know, was happened to be the one that you had a pretty heavy hand in writing lyrically. Mm-hmm. And so the song, The Turn, is about you, your life,
how I felt before I came out,
how you felt before you came out. It's very like autobiographical,
yeah,
of your experience, you know, and everything. And it's a great song. So what went into writing that song, if you can elaborate on it, other than just like your feelings? And like, did you talk it over with your band, like, hey, do you mind if we put this song in there?
Yeah, that actually is kind of exactly what happened. I think like John had this musically written, had the song. And I remember I think I already had some lyrics or words for it, whatever. And then we were practicing, and I asked Nick, I was like, would you guys, like, we were all in there, but I was like, hey, would you be cool, like, singing a song that I wrote and about, like, how I felt, you know, before I came out? He's like, he initially was already going to ask me that, but so when I told him, he was, like, stoked. So, yeah, I just asked them, and we were in practice one day. And then, yeah, so I don't really know. I can't think of anything that was like really memorable as far as like that went into writing it, as much as it was just like when I was in a mood, like the right mood, I can like get out those words and like how I felt. So I wouldn't say it was anything like too significant that I remember, as much as just like thinking about everything I had felt prior to coming out.
Right.
And then, yeah, luckily I was with a group of supportive guys that like let me do that and gave me the space to put that on there, because it was like really important to me and still is, because it's like forever,
yeah,
forever there,
right? And you did you laid down some vocal tracks on that
I
one
did
too. A couple, yeah, vocals, yeah,
like two little parts
heavy, yeah, yeah, it's the heaviest parts though, dude. You know. So I don't know. So like what is the message at the end of that song, the little like
the
It sounded like Taylor or something, like just
the sound clip.
Yeah, is it a sound clip?
Yeah, there's so okay. I wasn't there when they added that. That was Kyle Black, who produced the record.
That's him talking.
No.
Oh, he added
it's a clip. Yeah, it's like a sound clip. I don't actually even know where they're from. Probably from some speech from YouTube. No, so I don't know what those are from actually.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think
it's just cool.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
A cool,
I mean,
little outro,
which is cool because like I was there, like I recorded the drums, and then, you know, I had like a regular job, so I would go back to work. I think I might have come back and forth a couple of times when they were doing other stuff, but I wasn't there for a lot of the vocals. So everything that got added like post me was all like in bits and pieces of me being in and out.
Right.
Of it. So yeah, when it came to like them putting the lyrics over it, I had like no part, which was fun. I mean, I didn't need to. So I didn't have any, you know, I wasn't there for that. And then whatever the stuff Kyle added, or I wasn't there for that either. So I actually don't even know where that's from.
It's a sick song, though.
Yeah.
You can listen to it on iTunes, you know, mm-hmm, anywhere else.
Spotify.
Heart to Heart, Untitled Album.
Yeah.
The Turn is the name of the song. Great song. What was cool, too, is, like, hearing that song live and stuff, you know? So, like, on that tour, which I think was the album release tour, mm-hmm, or whatever,
yeah,
the one, yeah. I mean, played a lot of shows, even, like, beyond that, but it's just a cool part of the, like, it's a cool part of the show, because like Nick would maybe say something before the song.
Always.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. As a, you know, advocate for, mm-hmm, the LGBTQ community, you,
yeah,
know, it's like he would always say something like whatever, inspiring, hopeful before the song, you know, just to people, whoever maybe feeling shitty or lost or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just cool to have a song like that, I think, you know, like,
no, it is. Cause I also ironically, I'm in school to become a therapist, but at the time after I was out, I wrote something on the band page, like coming out, but then also like telling people you know, like if they want to talk, they can come to me. I was like, I'm not a professional, but if you want to talk, email me. So I put my email. So I had, there's one guy, I only had a couple people email me. And of course I was worried about getting people like making jokes, but, one kid actually, we still follow each other on Instagram, but I was the first person that he ever came out to. And it was through that, like through doing that email thing, you know? And it had a big impact on him. So, yeah, so that was one thing I got that was really cool out of it as well. And then, yeah, so we also, one of the guys in Fun, I forget which member it was, the band Fun, started, it was called the Ally Corporation, the Ally something. It's so long ago, I forget now. But we, like, were part of it. So we, like, made a video that went on, you know, whoa, YouTube and was, like on the
Heart
website.
Heart to Heart was a part of it?
Yeah. Because of, it all started from that, you know? Yeah, but, I mean, I don't think they did much with it because I don't remember a whole lot else happening with that company. I think it was just, like, a nonprofit. Yeah. But, yeah, so that was also kind of cool because it was, like, founded by one of the guys in Fun. And
yeah, I mean, that's super cool. And, like, I don't know, just having a song like that, you know, for people to relate to or whatever or listen to or freaking maybe to help them. I don't know, you know.
But it's
like, I don't know. It's just that's another great thing about this, the scene or whatever. I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, it's real. And it's, like, as important as it was for myself to, like, get that stuff out there, I knew I was writing it because other people will be able to, like, relate
like,
to
was
it.
Was it, like, therapeutic for you?
Oh, for
like,
sure.
And playing it? Did you feel, like, good playing it, like,
yeah. And I just love, I mean, like, I like fast songs, and that song was one of the fastest ones on that album too, so that was also a fun part. But yeah, no, it felt good. And it was like, I don't know, I think what felt the best was how supportive the band was and like how much they would get into playing it live. And it might not have even been because of just the lyrics, the song as a whole, but like
it's a banger.
Yeah, and it's just fun. And I think that's something that I've always loved is like my straight friends or my heterosexual friends, whatever you call
it. The breeders.
The breeders.
Yeah. Bastards.
Yeah. Being like supportive and like
right.
really being allies. Like, and to me, that was like one of the most ultimate levels like they could do, you know, like singing a song I wrote and playing it, at, you know, all the nights that we had played it. So, yeah, I mean, it was, I loved playing that. And I think that was probably my favorite part was like how into it they would all get.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great song.
Yeah.
You did good, man.
Thanks, man.
You did good.
Thanks.
You got words. You got words, Tom. You know what I mean?
I try.
So then we like, I mean, all right. So now it's like, now we're just living life. You know what I mean? We're out, you know, you're proud.
I'm
out. You
proud.
Now we're just like, we're getting really into it. So like, you know, you got Pride events, which are, I mean, if you've never been to a Pride event, like you have to go to one at least. Like,
yeah, you should. I mean, a big city.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
Not a small town.
They go off pretty. They go off pretty good.
Like, Slow's Pride's pretty sad, but the rest of
small town.
Cool.
But we did go to that one though.
Yeah, I've been to it a couple times.
I remember going to that one.
Yeah, me and Travis have been to it a couple times.
So we've done, you know, like numerous Pride events, which are always pretty lively. Gay days at Disneyland.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a fun one.
What a great day.
Except you know now it's in September. I really liked it when it was like the last weekend of September, first
October.
Weekend of October.
Yeah, it was
now
like
it's
October.
Like in September.
So that's like an unofficial event.
Yeah.
But it's, I was wondering if they even still did it though.
They did.
They just didn't do it last year, obviously.
They did it this year.
They did it this year.
They didn't the year before, I don't believe.
Right.
Because of
but
COVID.
They do still do it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They just changed the dates.
I would highly recommend. I mean,
yeah, it's fun.
What a sight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A lot of red in front of that castle, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a Pride event, basically. It's like an unofficial Pride event at Disneyland. It's just put on by, like, fans or whatever. It's fan-made. But Disneyland has come to embrace it over the years, which is nice. I mean, embrace it in that they market towards
it
or whatever.
They make, like rainbow shirts.
Yeah, they'll sell
like whatever,
merchandise
things,
for it now and everything. Like, they'll sell rainbow cookies and cupcakes.
And ears.
Like, yeah, Mickey ears and stuff like that. So it's, like, it's cool that they've acknowledged that it happens, you know, and they kind of, like, they'll go with it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't try to, like, stop it from happening. But the, like...
They embrace it.
The thing is, yeah, so when you're participating at Gay Days at Disneyland, it's like red is the color, you know, typically. I mean, you don't have to wear
red
but it's like
shirt.
To show you're like...
An ally or you're part of the community.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you wear red. But, I mean, between all these, like, some of the funniest shirts, like, people think of extremely funny things to say on their shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I feel like.
We always made punny, like pun t-shirts.
Yeah, the puns are big for sure. Like, so I remember one I just remembered the other day that a guy was wearing that on the shirt, it just said Lost Boy Looking for Peter. And this is at Disneyland, you know? It's like, I think it's always funny, kind of, that you can wear a shirt like this to Disneyland. Because it's like...
It's a family environment.
It's a dick joke. You know what I mean? It's like, what he's saying is...
Where there's the one that says, like, I love the D, and it's like the Disneyland D,
exactly.
You know?
It says, I love the D, or he wants the D.
Yeah, he wants the D.
And it's got the Disneyland D logo on it.
We did... Like... One year we did Leia's buns, and it was in
I have a blaster.
Han Solo's and it was like, I like his blaster.
No, it was, right? I have a blaster, and then it was, I have buns.
And I like, want the buns
it one. It was a couple's shirt. Yeah. You know, one had the DL-44, Han Solo's blaster on there.
All right, nerd.
That said, I have a blaster. And the other one was Princess Leia's hair buns.
Yeah.
And it said, I have buns.
Yeah.
It's a good, like, couple's shirt, you know?
Yeah, we did Lady and the Tramp, but we did two tramps.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, but I mean, they're always like super fun. Like, I don't know, it's just all these events. And even like we've done Pride in San Diego here a couple times.
Yeah, we did a couple times.
Hillcrest, yeah, which are always pretty exciting.
I mean, we go to the Long Beach one.
Long Beach, where you live, yeah.
So yeah, we try to get out.
You know. Right. But now living. Now that you live amongst us, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Amongst the masses.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to think it's become easier just to exist freely, even though there's still a lot of bullshit out there, you know? Like, there's a lot of, obviously...
I mean, yeah, it's way easier now than it used to be.
Right, yeah. Like, do you still feel that? Do you ever, like, I mean, can you avoid, like, insecurities? Like, when you're walking around, like, or anything like that, do you ever feel, like, insecure ever?
I mean, no. For the most part, no. It depends on where we are. Like, there's certain parts of the country, just speaking here, that I would feel incredibly uncomfortable, you know, being, like, out and open. But for the most part in California, I mean, I don't care at all.
It's pretty... We're lucky to live somewhere that's pretty... You know, yeah, you're going to have your...
There's
you
some
know,
cities.
Your groups. But, I mean, out here, you got WeHo, you know? You got, like, all these places that are, like... Obviously Southern California is already liberal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just they're
more
like,
open-minded.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's already an easier, quote unquote, easier place to live in that regard.
And sometimes I like the idea of like even doing it where it's taboo-ish, you know? So like being in certain parts of California where it's less common or whatever,
right.
Or people might care more, or at least I think that.
At like some sort of religious site.
Yeah, it makes you want to be like more out about it, you know, just to piss them
Chick-fil-A's,
off.
Chick-fil-A's, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Exactly.
Classic spots.
Right, yeah, all the hater spots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's some comfort. I mean, I know it's just, people need to just get out of their asses, you know what I mean? And like just...
Yeah, I know. I like to think that, like, you know, someday it'll be to the point where no one cares, but I don't know. That seems like a hard...
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I'm very optimistic, but
yeah,
that's one thing I don't know about.
Yeah, that's very optimistic. It's a great thing to aspire to, but yeah, it's tough.
I don't know if everyone will get there.
Yeah, probably. I'm just going to guess not, but... So, all right, we've, like...
Thanks a lot, religion.
Yeah. The worst. Yeah. So like, what do you have any advice? Would you have any advice for anybody maybe still closeted with, okay. Actually, before we get to this, do I even want to talk about this? Okay.
Ask it.
I don't even know if I want to talk about this. I'm really derailing. I know. But like, I was just thinking because like just about the gay haters and stuff, you know, and it's like, I feel like they've almost just screwed themselves over. And I think I told you this before because I'm like, I'm not trying to get canceled.
I mean, for hating on homophobic
yeah,
people, I think
it's true. It's just a lot of the times, like, I feel like they've screwed themselves because it's like, one, gay people, I mean, obviously you're going to have asshole gay people. You know what I mean? It's like, they're all humans when it comes down to it. Like,
doesn't
just because they're gays,
you identify,
doesn't mean they're
how
like,
you identify.
Yeah, they're not just nice, cool people. Yeah, it's like there's a lot of dickheads. There's a lot of assholes. There's a lot of freaking divas. Like, it's just, it's they're just like any group of people, you know? But I'm like, there's so many cool ones. Like, there's so many nice people. It's such like a welcoming community. And like, I don't know. It's just, I feel like they kind of screwed themselves, you know? All these, the haters, they're just, they're isolating them. I get it. It's for other reasons or whatever, you know, but like now I'm just going off, but like,
let
I don't know,
it, let
man,
it out. Let
but
it out.
I just, I don't know. You ever, I don't, sometimes I see those, you know, like a just a nice set of lesbians, you know? And I'm like, damn, you know, I'm like, that's hot. You know what I mean? And I'm like, dude, you're telling me like, I don't know, dude. I'm like, I like this, you know, I like seeing this. And I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, especially super straight aggro men have really screwed themselves.
Yeah, because they'll hate gays, but then they'll love to see two women kiss.
Yeah,
or
I'm like,
and
they
the
hate the gays, but I'm like, you ever seen like
two women make out?
Yeah, I'm like, it's pretty damn cool.
Yeah,
like, it looks good. It,
and they,
it's
but
great.
See, the thing is, they're so like lost, they won't consider that gay because it's two women. They think it's like hot and cool. But when it's two men, they think it's gay.
Yeah, I'm like,
but
you can't have it.
You're still
yeah,
wrong.
Exactly. Now I'm like, now you're just bending your own rules.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, I feel they didn't think about this, because that's the thing, dude. I'm like, when you hear the word gay, you know, immediately I'm gonna say most people think two men.
Yeah, for sure.
Like everyone's gonna associate that.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like whenever people, whatever in the Bible, whatever this is, with religions hating gay people. I feel like that's what they thought. Like when they were like writing this down or fucking chiseling it into a stone tablet, you know, that they were like, oh yeah. And by the way, like, don't be gay. You know, they were just thinking of men, but they weren't thinking of like, oh, you know what? Two women might be kind of cool.
We'll like, see that one out. But I don't know. Okay. But I don't know enough about like religion theology, right? Because a lot of people say it was never it's not even in the Bible.
Right.
It was never intended to be like that.
Yeah, it's like a
and it's been it's been interpreted who knows whatever how many times, right? But from what I gathered is it started like what's the word?
Bang.
No. Men and don't be a pedophile. Oh, but like there was a different
too,
word for it, and then it changed. Like that's what I heard the misinterpretation was.
Right.
I don't know. The Bible's too confusing. It's been misinterpreted
right,
so many
times.
So, and like rewritten. So I don't know. I don't know what their original intent was, but either way, that's what people took it as, right? Like they take it as it's wrong to be gay. Two men can't be gay, whatever.
It's the sodomy too, you know?
Yeah.
What I mean?
And that's in there, which
like
straight people could sodomize.
I know,
you know,
which I'm like, I think they just associate automatically with, but I'm like, but you know, straight men,
people also do
I'm like can also do that and some do and like it, you know what I mean? So I'm like,
yeah,
I know, I just I feel like they've really screwed, they didn't think it through, you know, when they were like making the rules or whatever.
But then they don't see that it's hypocritical and
or they'll find some caveat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'll be like, well yeah, no, I mean women like hey,
that's cool though.
Yeah, they're like,
you know?
Hey, no, that's fine, like God loves women or whatever, you know, it's like they'll find something, but they're like, but man, that's unnatural or whatever. I don't know. I'm just talking some shit now. But anyway, so like, all right. So what I was going to say then was advice to anybody, maybe people struggling, people still living in the closet. Cause you know, there's some married dudes out there with kids and a wife who are like, for whatever reason, just they could not do it, you know? And they were afraid they would be persecuted, whatever. And they're just like literally laying awake at night, dying inside because they can't be who they are in this stupid world. So do you have any advice maybe for people struggling or just anything?
I mean, that's like so hard. I don't know if I would say even advice, but like, I don't know.
Maybe your story is advice enough. It's inspiring enough.
Because it's like everyone's situation is so different, you know? So
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, life, whatever, it all sounds cliche and cheesy, but like life's too short to like just be not be who you are. You know right. what I mean? And
yeah,
I understand
sure.
that people have different reasons for not coming out. And, you know, maybe they grew up in that homophobic home and they're too afraid, or their society or their community that they're part of doesn't accept it, whatever. So I don't know. That's hard because it's like, it's so different for everybody. Obviously, you know, I would like for everyone that is gay to be comfortable enough to be out. And how you go about it is just like, it's your own thing. You have to do it right when you feel like it's right for you. But I don't know. I don't know if I would say I really have any good advice, except like everyone says, like it does get easier and it does get better once you can like get over that hump and actually get there. But I don't know. Everyone's situation is so different, right. you know, like, yeah. I don't think I hold the all true.
Yeah, no, for all sure. True not. Advice. And it's like, yeah, I mean, you never know what people are going through or what their living situation is or like what their family history is like or just whatever. I mean, there's a million, there's infinite reasons, you know, or whatever that go into it, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's too, life's too short to not just be who you are.
What do you think yeah. when people find out? And then, like, they'll be like, well, he doesn't look gay.
Yeah, I mean, that happens all the time.
all the time.
Yeah, my husband.
I've been told that a lot about you. I mean, yeah. Not about myself.
Okay.
Yeah, like, no one thinks that about me. But, like, I'm saying, like, there's
people
been a
did at
ton
one point,
of people, but... you know, who, like, if we ever had mentioned it, you know, would be like, yeah, like... It's just he doesn't look gay.
And oh,
like,
yeah.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, I know that
like,
happened.
I get it in that maybe you're not like.
I feel like that happens less now. It used to happen for sure.
Yeah, all the time.
And I think that's people
like,
just like.
They just like, think of the stereotype.
Yeah, and they're like not, what's the word, like unintentionally being. They're not trying to be rude or ignorant. They're yeah. just like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, the stereotype, yeah. like you said, they just don't think like what they're saying can be offensive to people. But yeah, they just don't think about it. And it is such a stereotype. People expect if you're gay to be a certain way.
Yeah,
or like
you got a tutu on or something. You
yeah,
know?
Like you know, whatever.
You got lipstick on and you're like, yeah. what? Yeah.
Yeah. like you know people I mean? Have these expectations of like yeah. what it is.
Yeah, it's the or funniest like, thing. Like, oh, he doesn't look gay. And well, I'm like, what does that even like
entail?
Yeah, yeah. like because he's not like fucking, he's, I don't know.
Flamboyant. I mean, people, yeah. people, if you're not flamboyant, people don't think it's possible or
right,
whatever.
Yeah. And it's a weird,
but then you have flamboyant straight people like Prince and like
yeah,
a famous,
exactly.
you know,
I'm
so
like,
I don't know.
Know. It's, yeah.
it's just society.
Yeah. It's just, I know sometimes people just say it too, not even thinking about it, you know, or just not realizing what they're saying maybe. Or
yeah. And a lot of people probably don't even mean it to be hurtful.
No, not at all. You know? Like it's just funny.
They're just
it's
unaware.
Just, like, what do you think when people are like, oh, you don't look gay. You're like,
yeah,
what
that does
like,
annoy
this is
me
how
though.
I look.
Yeah.
yeah
no,
like,
I definitely
I don't know what that I look like this. Like,
yeah, it could be annoying. It gets to me sometimes, but it doesn't really happen that much anymore. It definitely, I feel like it happened a lot more. Like when I was a little bit younger, like throughout my 20s.
Yeah.
But definitely, I don't really even if it does happen, I'm not paying attention.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just like, whatever.
You're like, well, I'm like, I don't know. You haven't seen my Grindr pics, I guess, or something. You know what I mean? You're like, no.
It was Growler for me. I wasn't really a Grindr
oh, okay,
guy.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, Growler. Yeah. That was another one. Right. That's right.
Yeah. I actually started on Plenty of Fish and that didn't go well. So I got off of it.
Yeah.
And went to Growler.
Oh, yeah. Well, Growler might not have existed, though, during then. You know what I mean?
Growler?
Yeah.
When I first came out?
And, like, Plenty of Fish.
It was out. It was out when I was out. I don't know when it started. Plenty of Fish is, like, for everybody, you know.
Oh, it is?
It's straight like, people, too. And
oh, yeah.
You can, like, pick.
They commingle them?
Yeah. You can
damn,
commingle.
Dude.
But, yeah, I didn't have a good first experience, so I just nixed that.
Dicey. Yeah.
And then I got lucky meeting... my husband.
Yeah, your husband
now.
Travis, right.
Like not that long after I came out to my family.
Right.
It was actually the same month, which is crazy. So like I came out to my family in October and Travis and I met that same October, but like the end of the month. And then we met for the first time in November and then started dating the following year. So we've been together for 10 years.
Damn, dude, that's so
crazy. And next year.
Yeah.
That's
wild.
Yeah, married for 3.
Yeah, dude, that's so crazy, man. Do you remember introducing him to me? Do you remember where that was? I do. I'm just asking you.
I don't remember.
That was at...
Here?
No.
No?
Warp Tour.
Really?
In Seaside Park.
Don't even remember.
Yeah, Ventura in maybe 2012, maybe. Because I was already living in San Diego, but I was still going to the Ventura Warp Tours.
Yeah.
So I drove up there.
Right. Well, I went there only way like cooler, like weather.
Yeah. I mean, it's and right by it's the beach. Better, and plus, yeah. like, all my friends were there. I didn't know anyone in San Diego. So it's like all my friends were going, would be at that one.
Yeah. That was when
and
Travis had appendicitis. The okay. surgery earlier that week.
Oh, okay.
So I was, that's right. Cause I came down and I stayed with him. And then we went, cause he lived so, you know, near the area. So like we went right. there afterwards.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's right. That's what crazy. I totally forgot. That yeah, was the I remember, first time you guys met.
Yeah. When you introduced us. And then I was like, but you had told me about him. I knew you were dating already and everything. Like I knew who he was. Just
you
never
knew
met
you were
him.
Talking because that was the day we actually started dating 2012 at that Warped Tour. Yeah. So the day you met him was the like official day. You know, wow. we had a you oh, know, interesting start, yeah. but when it, we right. we were already dating, and then it was like official that Warped Tour, which was June 24th.
So we're like
2012.
Yeah, it was like a throuple almost. You know what I mean?
We were never a throuple,
but we all met. It was we all became official.
Yeah, on yeah. The same like day. You met him the same. Day
I met him officially
yeah.
that day. Yeah,
we
so
started dating.
We'll
yeah.
count it. We'll count it. But yeah, and then dude, I mean. It's been great getting to know him, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I mean, I don't know if he knew what he was getting into, but because we're kind of a package deal.
I'm just glad that you guys get along so well.
Oh, yeah.
Because well, that would have been unfortunate.
That would have been very unfortunate. Like, it would have been almost impossible, honestly. Like,
yeah.
we would have been estranged. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it would have been weird.
Yeah, like, we'd be writing each other, you know, like.
You would have had to done FaceTime.
Yeah, like, every few months or something like that to, like, months. Find out, like, what we've been doing, you know? And, like, what's been, like.
I mean, you don't have to write because it's not 19.
Oh, it's more dramatic.
Not the 1900s.
I know, like, but that's funny. 1900s. It's more dramatic that way. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't be the same because, like, yeah, we still hang out pretty often and, like,
It'd
we see each
different.
Other quite often.
Yeah. We're Especially still, now that I live in Long Beach.
Yeah.
Which
we're
is,
very,
oh,
we live,
live around closer to you in Southern California.
We live very close together. I mean, closer. Yeah. It's doable. Yeah. yeah, man. It's just, I don't know. It's been, it honestly, I would say it's been, if anything, it's made our friendship just even better
yeah.
because it's just way more funny. I think, I don't know. We joke about just things all the time that we might not have been able to joke about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The amount I've learned about the gay community is overwhelming. I would say maybe I might've learned
There's
too much, honestly. Like
There's a lot.
One might even argue I know too much about them. But
it's a whole new world.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's changed a lot of our conversations, maybe about like sex, you know, kind of a couple of different perspectives, you know, there.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's all been for the better. Like everything has just been better, I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just been so much like more entertaining and just funny. And I don't know, dude. It's been good.
It's a whole new world.
It's a whole new world, dude. It's been good.
It really is.
It's been good.
Yes.
Think maybe we'll wrap it up here.
Yeah.
But this
is actually tiring.
Was that pretty? Can you believe we just did this?
So again, I can't believe you just did this.
Okay, that's true. I mean, yeah.
How do you feel? An hour and a half
I in. Feel great. I'm like ecstatic right now. Like I cannot believe this just happened. Like it took an hour of warming up basically to even
yeah.
do this.
And
yeah.
it took, I think Matt mentioned to me doing this when?
A year, maybe
at least, and it was
yeah,
me.
That's what I'm saying. Is it crazy
giving him
that
shit
we're
for
sitting here
so
this?
Long? And he's never gonna do it because I like to try to do reverse psychology by telling him he's never gonna happen. Then eventually he'll get annoyed enough and he'll want to do it. But it did come around.
Here's the thing: I have a very specific creative process. It's very specific. It's unique to me.
AKA, like, it takes a very long time.
It just
to get
it's
things
got,
going.
Everything's got to line up. Like there was just. An eclipse the other night, you know what I mean? It's like,
please don't.
It's something like,
don't start talking about astrology.
No, but what I'm saying is like everything just has to be in order. Like I have to feel good about it. I don't know, dude. You just it doesn't even matter. Okay,
it came together.
Yeah, it came together. this was awesome, dude. Super fun. It was so great talking to you. Like, this is cool, man.
This is cool.
This is freaking badass, dude.
Yeah.
Well. I'm so happy that we did this.
Me too.
Thank you so much for humoring me.
You're welcome.
And doing this. It was super fun. And yeah, man. I love you, bro.
Love you too.
We're bros, dog.
We're buds, man.
Yeah, that's
I
for
don't
real.
Say bros, so.
Yeah. So we'll just call it here.
All right.
All right.
Peace. Bye.